Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Joe Comerford, who is the Executive Director of the National Priorities Project, a national non-profit, non-partisan research organization dedicated to making complex federal budget information transparent and accessible. Welcome to Background Briefing, Joe Comerford.
Thanks so much, Ian, for having us on.
And it looks as though the 2015 defense budget that was just announced by Secretary of State Hagel is really a bit sleight of hand in terms of the idea that he came in as a guy that was going to cut the waste, fraud, and bloat at the Pentagon. Because if it doesn't seem to translate into less spending when you add the extra $26 billion Obama is expected to ask for, the extra $115 billion over 4 years that Hagel is proposing, and the $85 billion Overseas Contingency Operation Slush Fund.
Indeed. I think they're in the narrative, in Hagel's narrative, there was a lot to celebrate. It's in the actualization of that that there's actually a lot for us to be fairly alarmed about. And just as you say, there is an unbelievable disconnect between what Chuck Hagel says he's doing in terms of downsizing the Pentagon and what the numbers tell us in terms of how much Pentagon spending our nation will do. So, in fact, the story is about troop cuts, and we should take that very seriously, right? Because there are women and men in our nation, and they're maybe slated for reductions, but some of the larger, very expensive weapon systems and or other kinds of investments in long-term militarization of our nation, they are not going away. In fact, as you say, we're going to actually exceed the spending cap of sequestration if projections play out, by $115 billion over the next 5 years.
So why is it then that the idea of that the Army will be smaller than it was before World War II, why is that getting all the headlines?
Well, you know, I think it makes some logical sense, right? We're in narrative right now, we are ending the Afghanistan war, right? I know that still has to be actualized, and that's quite a hot topic right now as well. But even if we leave 10,000 U.S. troops there, it is still a very much smaller conflict than it has been. And we know that the 21st century threats to security range from anywhere from climate change, which I think we should take more seriously, to much more decentralized. And so we don't need this big footprint, and I think military footprint. And I think it makes a lot of sense to Americans that we don't need this. And so I do think that the media has snapped it up. Also, I do think that as a nation, we're hungry for this news, given the kind of austerity that we've experienced as a nation, because right now, $1 spent on the Pentagon means $1 is not spent someplace else. So there is this moment of absolute, you know, zero sum. If we're going to spend it here, we're not going to spend it there. And so I do think that caught both media and community members' attention in thinking that perhaps there was a new day for this big, giant Pentagon that takes now 57% of all discretionary spending.
So, Joe Comerford, the eliminations of the weapon systems are, curiously, they are the weapon systems that have been the most effective and the most useful for the military, particularly in Afghanistan and Iraq, not that anybody's sanctioning those wars. The A-10 attack jet, they're finally getting rid of that. The U-2 spy planes, which they still use, that goes back to the 1960s.
Right.
And so the reduction in some of the Navy's littoral combat ships, which they've been spending a lot of money on and still haven't developed one that works and doesn't leak. But to my mind, the greatest obscenity is the F-35, which is the world's most expensive weapon system in the history of mankind. And it doesn't work as well as the planes it's replacing, and it doesn't work as well as it's advertised because stealth is a big hoax now. The Russians have their radar to detect it. So all it means is all that weird coding and angles and stuff supposed to deflect radar, all it does is make the thing unflyable. And the only reason it flies is because of the incredible amount of software aboard those planes. The whole thing... And when you consider they're getting rid of weapon systems that worked and replacing them with incredibly expensive ones that don't work, that's where I think the outrage should be directed.
I agree with you, Ian. I think it's outrageous that the F-35 in this proposed downsizing of spending, which is, of course, not happening in actuality, the F-35 should come first. Right now on National Priorities Project's website, if folks went there, they would see that we are spending, as a nation, just for this year, just for 2014, $964,006 and right now, every hour, $964,006 just for the F-35, just for this year. And that, as you, and that's an enormous sum. That's the United States. That's our tax dollars. You and me, through our, you know, through our individual income taxes.
Say that again. For every hour, every waking hour that all of us go through, how much are we spending on this damn thing?
$964,000.
$964,000 every hour.
And it was actually $964,006. But every hour of every day, 24 hours a day, 365 days. And it's, as you say, it's the most ill-gotten, arcane system. And all told, you know, the number, as you I know is over now $1.5 trillion in total weapon cost. And it is an outrage that we are still locked in this. And it has nothing to do with security and everything to do with contractors and their relationship to members of Congress. And it is this kind of ill-gotten relationship that I believe that people need to be pushing against very, very hard as the president delivers his budget before the nation.
And again, I'm speaking with Joe Comerford, who's executive director of the National Priorities Project, a national nonprofit, nonpartisan research organization dedicated to making complex federal budget information transparent and accessible. Now, the nation's premier news and investigative program, 60 Minutes, did do a piece recently on the F-35, but I found it extraordinary that it was not particularly critical about it, and it more or less was spinning the story in the way that this new Secretary of the Air Force has finally got his hands around this program that's been out of control, but now he's got his hands around the program, but it's still going ahead.
Yeah, I thought that was troubling as well. You know, I think in one moment, Hagel is saying that conflict doesn't look the same, you know, that it's decentralized, that it's going to be fast-moving, that it's going to come in very non-traditional, if you will, forms. And then another, they're producing the weapon that, in fact, they've been producing now for a very long time for a conflict that is no longer takes the same shape as that weapon was, you know, defined for. So it's, and then on top of it, to have the weapon never work as accurately as anybody needs it to. It's just, it's an obscenity. And we're hemorrhaging money every second, every actually millisecond of every day. Americans are hemorrhaging money because of this weapon system.
So what are the, in terms of, you know, there's always been this dichotomy in the Pentagon between the toys and the boys. And the toys always get all the riches, and the boys, now of course it's the boys and girls,
right,
get shortchanged. So what's happening in terms of reductions in military personnel, active duty Army, National Guard, Army Reserve and Marine Corps, the pay freeze for flag officers and generals, and a reduction in benefits for active duty personnel and their families? So let's deal with what's actually happening to the boys and girls as opposed to the you know, open snouts in the trough raid on the Treasury for the toys, particularly this F-35 Turkey.
Right, indeed. So the Army is looking at, you know, just under 100,000 jobs lost. That's active Army, active duty Army. So they're about 520,000 now, and they're looking to go between anywhere between 440,000 and 450,000. It's just under 100,000. And, you know, that's, we don't know yet how that's going to, what impact that's going to have on specific bases, but clearly that's, you know, many, many American families will be affected by that. Similarly, the Army National Guard is going to lose about 20,000 members, the Reserve about 10, the Marine Corps about 8, but Special Ops is going to gain about 4, and that's consistent with past Pentagon statements where they've seen outfits like the SEALs, the Navy SEALs as being highly effective, or the Rangers highly effective. So, and again, that actually more tracks with, again, dominant theory about warfare, which is what we need is not the big, huge footprint, but we need to move quickly with fairly sophisticated capacity. So that tracks with that theory. Again, you know, there's almost no money going into conflict resolution or prevention, as you well know, which is, you know, needs to be tried. And then the upper crust is getting a pay freeze. Those are the flag officers and the generals. And in fact, you know, I think this was a good recognition on the part of the Pentagon. A lot of this was good narrative from Hagel. It's just the playing out of it that there's so much disconnect. But recognizing that it was fairly top heavy. But then again, active duty folks are the benefits are going to be reduced. And that has to do with housing allowance, and it has to do with reducing subsidies and containing health care costs. Now, the tricky thing here is, I know you know this, enlisted personnel their wages are so low that many of them actually are eligible for means-tested benefits nationally, like food stamps. So there is, again, a real disconnect, and you say, I think rightly, the disconnect between the boys and the toys. So these personnel, you know, these women and men are going to be further constrained at the very, very bottom of this pay scale when, in fact, this $964,000 expenditure will continue per hour. So that's a look a little bit at some of the personnel shifts. What they're not talking about yet fully is how this is going to be operationalized, and what they're not yet talking about fully is this the force structure, or the global footprint of the United States. You know, so there's a lot of open questions about what does this mean for our U.S. bases across the world? What does this mean about any prospective bases that they've been considering, and things like that.
But it would seem, though, Joe Comerford, that the basic headline that after 13 years of war, the U.S. Is downsizing its budget to $496 billion. But then when you look into these budgetary games that are going on, as I mentioned, Obama's expected $26 billion extra.
Right. Hagel's... He's also going to non-defense discretionary, too, but he's just splitting this boost equally.
Right. That was the so-called compromise, right?
Right.
And then the extra $115 billion over 4 years that Hagel is proposing, and then the $85 billion, the Overseas Contingency Operations Slush Fund. Where's the real number? That's what I'm asking.
Well, there isn't a real number. And here's one gruesome example of that. So you'll remember last year with sequestration, right? It was the first year, right? We were going to tackle it as a nation. And you'll remember that the Pentagon and the FAA, you know, the air traffic controllers, right? The wealthy didn't want to wait in the airports, and so we allowed the FAA some wiggle in managing its funds and cuts. And then the Pentagon said immediately, red alert, we can't deal. And it also got some wiggle. So we have done some work here, and it's still a little bit of a preliminary figure, although I can get behind it in about 99% of myself. So last year, between the wiggle that the Pentagon got and some of the other cost savings and some of the slush fund that happened with the 14 budget compromise, the Pentagon actually only dipped by about $3.5 billion after all of that drama and all of the crying poverty. And that leads me to say to you that unless great media like yours and the American people demand more transparency and accountability on the part of the Pentagon, these kind of shell games that the Pentagon's doing are just going to be repeated in the 15 budget, and it's what we must not allow. Because the Congress and frankly the White House is so predisposed to listening to the cries of poverty of the Pentagon and so predisposed not to want to shake up the status quo that they are doing monumentally bad business with regard to the Pentagon budget.
But also, none of these numbers and these budgetary games and this shell game that's going on ever gets to, or the Emperor's closed questions never asked in terms of what do we need it for, what are the threats on the horizon. And frankly, there aren't any national threats anymore since the end of the Cold War. There are certainly subnational and transnational threats, and you, as you mentioned earlier, they tend to be addressing them with special forces, etc. But my understanding is that, and you're just saying if you cut through all the smoke and mirrors, it's only comes down to about $3 billion extra. So there's no dividend.
For a loss of $3 billion.
A loss of $3 billion for ending 13 years of war. There's no peace dividend, right? But the question that I wish somebody would ask and would answer is how this relates to what we spent at the height of the Cold War. Aren't we spending the same?
Oh, we're well over the Cold War average. No. When we adjust for today's dollars, we're spending well over the Cold War average. No, there's been no adjustment yet or no quote-unquote peace dividend. Or, we're talking, there's a lot of national conversations and good work being done about transition economy work, to transition this economy into the new economy that we need, which will be the jobs of the 21st century that tackle 21st century threats like poverty, like global poverty and or climate change. Right, those are really among the top 21st century threats that we face, or water shortages. We're not in the same position as we were, as you well know, in the 1950s, 60s, and 70s and 80s. It's just we're in a totally different nation. Our military, our Pentagon, has not pivoted there yet, and it's actually to our peril.
Well, apparently the intelligence people and know about this. They know that climate change is, and all you have to do is look at countries like Australia, where the interior of the country is getting so hot that the kangaroos can't even go there anymore.
Right.
And there are endless studies showing that there'll be massive dislocations of populations, and much of the world's bread baskets and rice growing will go underwater, et cetera, et cetera. The nightmare scenarios are out there, but I suppose they'll just ask for more money, right? I mean, it's not like the peace dividend is the smoke and mirrors. It just hasn't happened, and it's not likely to happen, right?
Well, it's not likely to happen unless we can force it to happen.
Uh-huh.
I am holding out hope, and perhaps I'm a dreamer. But I do think that this moment is very, very different than the end of the Cold War. We've been through a major recession. The country is slightly more politicized than we've been, certainly than we were. Slightly more plugged in. Our Congress is monumentally badly behaved.
Right, and the public have just recognized that these last two wars have been complete catastrophes, and they've done nothing but make the world mad at us and make us less secure. So I agree with you. The time is ripe. I just hope you're right, and I thank you, Joe. We've run out of time, but I thank you for joining us.
It's been a pleasure, Ian. Thanks for your work.
Thank you. Again, I've been speaking with Joe Comerford, who's Executive Director of the National Priorities Project, a national nonprofit, nonpartisan research organization dedicated to making complex federal budget information transparent and accessible. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program's available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.